That's amazing. That means he wasn't looking at the sin. He was looking at purpose, potential, destiny, creative value. Nobody ever taught me this stuff growing up. Everybody just made it about my faults and my failures, my sin, not what I could be once he lived in. So I was busy always just forgive me, forgive me, forgive me, and there was no life change. There was no transformation in my heart. So the same thing that motivated me before I knew I needed forgiveness motivated me after I knew I was forgiven.
Yeah.
Oh, man. He sent his son because he saw our purpose, our potential, our created value. Honestly, I believe this thoroughly. You search your Bible and try to prove this wrong if you want. I'm convinced in my heart to what I'm preaching. You probably got something, man, you got something running. We always preach that Jesus died on the cross because we were sinners. He had to die because we sinned. I'm not playing words. He had to die, costing death because we sinned. But he didn't die on the cross because we were sinners. He died on the cross because we were lost sons and he wanted to restore what we were made for. He wanted to. He became the lie to get the lie off of us.
Amen. Come on.
Thank you, Lord.
That changes everything.
Amen.
That tells me that he sees me apart from my failures.
Yes.
That he doesn't see me from a dark day. He sees me for what he made me to be in the beginning. So his son came and fulfilled what we failed so we could become what he paid for us to be. Man, that's exciting to me. So see, if I believe that, I'm not caught up in life. I'm not caught up with he said, she said, and I feel, and well, I'm hurt. Well, that's discouraging. Well, no, I said it this morning. We're not trying to make it.
Yeah, come on.
Please don't get trapped in that rut. We're not here to survive. We're not here to make it. We're here to become what he intended from the beginning. We're here to grow up into him in all things. We don't stop teaching and training and equipping until we all come to the unity of the faith, to the knowledge of the Son of God. Come on, it's Ephesians 4. It's there. No longer tossed to and fro every wind and doctrine, just changing and flipping with the wind. Come on. Full measure of the steps. Because you got to understand something. Your personal this isn't motivational speaking. This isn't hype. Listen carefully. Your personal individual life tonight is so valuable to God. It's so important to the specific plan of God that he shed the blood of his son to redeem and restore it.
That's right. Yeah. That's right.
Very good. Yeah.
You can't get caught up feeling sorry for yourself. You can't live a day in frustration, unforgiveness. You just can't let this stuff that used to matter anymore now the truth has come.
Yes.
I'm just not going to sympathize with it. Listen, this is you can't live in sentiments and emotions. Yeah, but that really hurt. But yeah, you know what they've been through. I understand being sensitive to people. I understand people not understanding and trying to bring them to understanding. But let's kill some things along the way that never produce life.
Yeah.
Let's stop saying we're being sensitive when we're allowing the thing that's hurting them to live.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Come on. Man, Jesus wouldn't mess with that thing. He'd just blow it up. And preserve the person in the midst. Come on.
Right.
Yes.
I just know the fall messed us up so bad. It made us sentimental. It made us self-centered. It made it all about me. And all of a sudden, I'm driven by survival mode, and I'm trying to make my own way. Yeah. Every one of us. But he's the way.
Yes, he is.
So he rescued us from that rat race. So you can't get born again and bring that same thing into new life. It'll mess you up.
Mm-hmm.
You got to put off the old. You got to put on the new.
Yes, sir.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So just get the grip on this and get along with God and pray your way through it and thanking him that who he is inside of you, that his eyes look through your eyes, that you see what he beholds. And as you read the word, talking to the Lord, like becoming one, and don't be afraid of pride. I think we sell out to false pride. I think we always think we got to talk ourselves down to make him higher. When he set you in heavenly places.
Yes.
Like he said exceedingly abundantly above all we ask and think of the power that worketh through us.
Yes.
He didn't have a problem saying that.
Right.
So why do we?
Right.
He lives in us. He wants to move through us. He told you to lay your hands on the sick.
Yes.
Of course you don't heal, but you're an important part of this thing. You're called a believer.
Yes.
Yeah? So let's not wear false humility. it is, well, you know, he died for me. I'm not ashamed of that. He shed his blood for me. He went into death for me and rose from that death to give me eternal life. That's a big deal.
Yes, sir.
He looked past everything I've ever been so he could restore everything he intended.
Amen.
And I love him for it.
Amen.
And I'm just not ashamed of the gospel.
Amen.
I'm not the criticism and stuff, and people that don't understand and quick to speak and slow to listen. I'm not ashamed to say I'm standing here righteous in the sight of God.
Right.
People say, well, who do you think you are? I'm trying to tell you.
Yeah.
I'm his son. Like, I'm a son.
Yeah.
Like blessed are the peacemakers, for they are the sons of God. He wants to restore sons.
Yeah.
He qualifies us as sons. He defines sons. He says, you say, love your neighbor, hate your enemy. But I'm changing your language. I say, love your enemy. Pray for those who persecute you. Give to those who would spitefully use you. Why? So you will be sons of your Father in heaven. His whole goal is to make us sons, so not so we live with a confession, so we live with an expression.
Amen.
Your confession won't change the world. Your expression will impact the world.
Amen.
Your words won't mean a thing. Your life lived is what matters to people.
Amen.
We call Christianity the great confession all the time. I understand what we're trying to say. But what about the great expression? You see how quiet it is in the room? Somebody thinks I just blasphemed or something. Because we just nail it. Confession, confession, confession. Well, Jesus is your Lord. Let him govern every area of your life.
Yeah.
Let him be the supreme ruling factor of every falsehood of your motives.
Right.
And if your motive's not producing life, it can't be from him. And if you don't see it in his life, where did you learn it? And why is it in yours?
Come on,
this stuff is so simple to me. You know what else I love about Jesus? So many things. But this is really pressing on me. He didn't just come and preach a sermon to us. He lived that thing. And there's nothing he's asking us to walk in that he didn't model.
Oh, yeah.
So he said, follow me. Why?
Because
he already lived it.
Right. Yes.
Now you've got to respect that.
Yeah.
This ain't like some guy that went to college and got a 4-year degree to tell you what you learned to do your whole life with your hands.
Right.
And you got the yellow hat and he got the white hat and he ain't never even picked up the hammer or whatever. But he knows all the logistics and he's got the training and he's your boss. And people don't like that. People are like, I've been in the trenches doing this job with this whippersnapper coming with an education trying to tell me to do what he ain't never done. I'd like to see him build this thing. People get attitude when somebody that never did what they did are trying to tell them what to do.
Yeah.
And how to do it.
Yeah.
Well, that ain't Jesus. There's not one thing he's asking of us that he didn't walk through as a man.
Yeah.
So you've got to respect that.
Yeah.
Now, how important is your and my life lived in him if he took the time to become a man? See, it's way beyond religion. It's way beyond theology. It's way beyond my belief system. I'm not being cynical. It's just, I know it sounds because I'm trying to. We say a lot of things that sound right. But man, if your belief system ain't producing life, if you're not walking in love, if you're not seeing things in truth, then do you have a belief system or do you just have a theological agreement? Oh, I believe that. Your life lived is what reveals what you believe.
Yeah.
When we stand before the Lord, I promise you this. There will not be a questionnaire whether you were in faith or not. Your life lived reveals what you believe.
That's
right.
And even if you believe something different, you just haven't given yourself to it, that's what you stand before the Lord on. I didn't give myself to what I believed. Because your life lived reveals what you believe. What you understand, what you see is revealed by how you live your life. How you handle situations, how you walk through trials. How you handle things when you're done wrong. When you're done wrong, do you live done wrong? Or do you live like Jesus?
Amen.
When you're mistreated, do you live mistreated and just grow your prayer list? Or do you live like nobody's ever done you wrong?
Come on.
Come on.
Because your joy doesn't come from how things are going.
Amen.
Your joy comes from your salvation. Amen. And the best thing you've been saved from is you.
Yep.
You've been saved from yourself.
Yes.
That's a good day. Get free from me and I'm happy. Because if I'm free from me, I'm way free from you. And now we can get it on and I can finally love you. But if I need something out of you, you're probably failing me. If I need something out of you, you're probably the reason I'm not okay and I'm only as good as you're doing me. Now my life's decided by where you are and how you are and what you are. And yet I say I believe. But what I really believe is what I need from you. And that's a lie. I woke up this morning with everything I need. I found it in my Bible. To know the love of Christ.
Yes.
To be filled with all the fullness of God. Wonder if you live from that place. Then it don't even matter if your spouse ain't doing well right now. Because you're going to begin to see them through this truth. You're not going to keep taking what they're not doing well to God. You're going to take God to what they're not doing well. And it's different. And all of a sudden you're never a product of where they're not. You're always a product of who He is. I've lived this thing for 23 years in June. For 22 years in June. And I've had plenty of opportunities to just be the old man. And I'm not. Yeah, so I'm very bold in my speech. I'm not this way because everything's going so great. I've been believing for good circumstances. And God's been delivering. That's not why I'm okay. I'm okay because I see through Him in the face of it all. And there's been times when everybody, seemingly my family, was making a bad choice. He's the same. Why would I change? I am not living for a better day. Circumstantially, I'm living for a transformed day.
Yes.
I'm not living for you to do me right, ever. I'm living to be more like Him.
Yes.
And that keeps me right. Yeah. Are you hearing me?
Yeah.
Come on, I can't tell you how many times we've been tricked, huh? Into becoming a product of what we're going through.
Right.
How we're feeling. What others have said or haven't said. Why? Because we're still tricked into drawing identity from each other. And we find ourselves through one another. And you can only truly find yourself through Him. That makes my relationship with you extremely healthy. Because I don't need you, I can finally love you. And the only way I actually need you is to lock arms so we can run this race as an army and have impact.
Sorry. Yes.
But if I need you to be okay in my identity, then I'm only as good as you see me and do me. And then I'm only as strong as the weakness around me. And then I sing, greater is He that's in me. And that could be religious. Are you okay? Ooh, I'm dropping some bombs right there. I can feel it. Just a boom! I felt that one. We okay? You can handle it. You're right on the front and smiling. That's good. Come on, I'm just crying out my heart. I'm not preaching anything I haven't walked and lived and stuff because I honor this thing that Jesus is doing. He lived this thing and preached to us through His life. So why would I do anything different if I honor that? That's why I'm so bold in my speech. That's why this message has never changed. People that are following Jesus say, I feel like I only preach the same thing every time I stand up. I feel like I'm handy and I get up and it's... You can preach a lot of stuff. A little service like this, small amount of time, I can preach a lot of stuff and it would pass. And then I get up here and this happens to me every time. And I can't go nowhere else. I'm actually believing it's just what God's saying.
Amen.
He paid for us to become something. And He's willing to afford the grace to accomplish it if we're willing to yield.
Yes.
If we're willing to call dead those things and have them produce life and put away ourselves and get alone with Him, talk to Him like that, and like we said this morning, examine our own life, not another's, I bet our lives will change. I bet grace will come. I bet we'll be transformed. I bet we'll get thrown into adverse situations and we won't react like we used to. We'll see through truth. Truth will come to our rescue and we'll find freedom in it. And all of a sudden you'll actually be okay. And you won't be taken back.
Amen.
Isn't that amazing?
Absolutely.
You get so confident in your conscience before God because you're walking with Him that somebody says something that's not even in your heart and it doesn't even faze you because you trust Him who judges righteously. It doesn't matter what they're implying. It matters what you see and know and understand. But insecurity gets eaten alive by that stuff. Self-consciousness gets destroyed by that stuff. Yeah?
Yeah.
That's why fear of man is still alive in a lot of good, meaning Christians. That's why self-consciousness is very prevalent in a room. And we start putting our trust and depending on others to be something, be there for us. I need you, man. And I understand there's a sense of giving, commitment, covenant with one another. But man, where does it ever say, I'm to just settle my trust and put my trust on you? Isn't this amazing? The Bible says trust in no man, but yet it calls every one of us to live trustworthy. Ain't that something? So instead of expecting something from others, become something in Him. That selfish thing is such a twist, man. It's such deception. It's such a lie. That's why for, I think, a few generations, honestly, we've shifted the gospel into a self-serving, beneficial message that attracts needs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Instead of a life-changing, transforming message that crushes flesh and rises up the spirit and walks in love. I really think the self-centered thing has snuck in. And we just make it all about our blessing, our provision, our protection.
Yeah.
Who knows God does those things? Yeah. But there's a time they're chained to the wall in a prison and their backs are ripped open.
Yeah.
And God didn't miss nothing.
Right.
And God didn't fail.
Right. That's right.
Yeah.
See, if it's just about Him meeting your need, you'll fail to establish a relationship with God where you actually understand a covenant with God where He's your father and your friend. And when things like that happen, you'll back off. You'll get perplexed. You'll get in a quandary. You'll back off. And you'll question who He is and where He is. And in that, you'll expose that you never really knew Him this way as a father and a friend. You were just needing Him to get you by. It's a very dangerous thing. I travel all the time. Please understand, I'm not being presumptuous when I say this. I'm around a lot of venues, circles. I'm in a lot of places. I'm somewhere every weekend. And there's general mentalities that have evolved in the body of Christ that I believe God is crushing and moving out because I believe we're sincere. I don't believe we're hypocrites. I believe we love Him the best we understand Him. So in all you're getting, can't understand it. So is this a correction or an encouragement?
Yay.
See? So nobody's getting spanked. Isn't that awesome? Yay. That's awesome.
Yes.
It's an encouragement. These are like family living room sessions. This is like cheering you on to not walk in these things. There's foxes. It's full of precious fruit of God. We all want fruit on the vine. Father's pleased with fruit. If you're bearing fruit, He'll prune you for more fruit. He's really into fruit. Now you think how many things and mindsets try to creep in and steal fruit where you just always have too many issues to move forward.
Yeah.
Come on. Yeah. If your children aren't running well, if people are making mistakes, if your spouse is acting crazy, what's any of that have to do with Christ in you and you called to shine? See, I'm convinced we've been tricked into letting other things matter more than what matters most because we preach the message that serves me without transforming me. So that we feel failed by God and let down and our faith is always in question because our prayers aren't being answered because our prayers are coming from a needy place instead of a transformed place. Are you with me?
Yes.
If you're getting mad at me right now, that's probably a good warning signal. No, seriously. That you're coveting your circumstances. And it's boxing you in. And it's justifying your life and going to keep you the same. And tomorrow will be yesterday. And how long could that unfold? A year. And all of a sudden a year from now is yesterday. And you're boxed in with a justification that's not producing life. It's allowing you to stay there with a clear conscience because you believe your justification, which is not producing life, and forming you in Christ. And even 2 years from now, you hear another guy come along and he's passing through and he's just shouting at you. Like, oh yeah, he's just excited, traveling preacher. He's just motivating, trying to motivate. But he don't know what I'm going through. He hasn't been with me the last 2 years. He doesn't know my life.
Yeah.
See, because I'm not talking about any of that stuff that you're dwelling on. I'm talking about getting formed in Christ so you can look at this stuff through Him.
That's
right. So you can respond to this stuff through Him.
Yes.
Not get overwhelmed by it and turn to Him. That's not Christianity.
Right.
Can I be? That's deception. Becoming a product of what you're going through and taking that to God instead of becoming a product of what He went through and taking that this way. Who's the hope of glory? God answering your needs prayer? Christ in you. Hope of glory. So if somebody does you wrong, why do you live done wrong? If you get laid off, why do you spend a day living laid off? We prove that we're letting what we're going through define us and become us, and then we take that to God for help. And we always force Him to just meet our present need. No relationship, no covenant, no understanding. After 2-3 rounds of that, you're beat down, pressed down, don't even know if you can pray anymore. Wondering why He didn't pull through and why He's making you go through this and what He's trying to teach me and all that religious talk that has nothing to do with nothing. Phew! This ain't too intense, right? You seem okay. I was questioning if I was okay. This feels intense. It's God crying out, man. He loves us. You didn't come here tonight because you're a hypocrite messing around. We're searching. We're seeking. Some of us are just even curious. Some of us are just, you know, I don't know what you heard about me. If you don't even know me, you're like, I wonder what He's going to say. Well, you're here. Don't even try to leave. I'll call you at the door. I'll ask God for every detail in your life. I'll nail you right at the door. Bam! Pow! Bam! You got nothing. Don't even try to leave right now. Don't. Go ahead and tempt the Lord. Now you guys are going to be holding your potty. You be like... Somebody must say, I should have worn the pants. Well, many of you have disciplined bladders before we leave. Bladder boot camp. Three children, sir, it ain't the same. Buckle up, girl. I'm messing up bad. Intercessors, pray. Believe God for something. You know why we're laughing like this? Because the surgery is deep.
Yeah.
Everything I'm saying is cutting. It's clear, but it doesn't hurt you. You don't feel the pain of what I'm saying. God doesn't want you heavy laden walking out there going, man, I got a long way to go.
Right.
He wants you excited saying, man, I got direction tonight. I got a path.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Things happen like that. I see what you mean. Like, well, I don't even know how I'm going to say it. Now, in all you're getting, get understanding.
Yeah. Yes.
Listen, I just promise you this. To compare our stories, our problems, our struggles, our go-throughs, our histories. We don't know what it's like growing up. We don't know what happened to me when I was 7 and then 8 and then 12. And I get some people need some understanding, compassion, and arm wrapped around me. You need to cry with them. I actually can do that well. But as I'm crying with them, I will chop every lie up that's trying to keep them there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Because it's not who they are, it's what they went through.
Right.
It's not who they are. Some of it's demented stuff, it's twisted people, and that lie is trying to twist on them and make them a product of a twisted thing.
Right.
Come on.
And 20 years later, they're still talking about 20 years ago.
Right.
That's a trap.
Yes.
And I might be able to hug you and cry for a little, but you won't get a long time. You'll just see I'm sincere.
Right.
But by the time I know you see I'm sincere, I'm chopping that thing to pieces.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
I've never had nobody punch me for it. I've had a lot of people thank me for it.
Yeah.
But I'll go after that lie.
Yeah.
At the risk of you getting mad at me.
That's right.
Amen.
You don't need as much sensitivity as you think.
Jesus.
You need straight truth.
That's right.
I get concerned with you, brother. You need to be more sensitive to me. That thought right there might be keeping you there.
Yeah.
The next time we meet, you might be the same.
Mm-hmm. Come on. Yeah.
That would be tough. I met a lady once and she said, I appreciate everything you're trying to do, Pastor, everything you're saying, but in all due respect, you don't understand what it was like when I was growing up. I looked at her and I thought, man, she's much older than me back at the time when this happened. I said, how old are you, honey? She said, I'm 52. I said, how long have you been a Christian? She said, 30 years. I said, you're a Christian, 30 years, you're 52, you heard this message, and your reply and response is, but you don't know what it was like when I was growing up, you're 52.
Wow.
Honey, it's going to be tragic if you're 72, a Christian, 50 years, and that's still your phrase.
Right.
Yeah.
And you've been robbed of all the years of fruitfulness, letting whatever happened to you growing up decide you for the rest of your life.
Amen.
That
Amen.
Sounds more powerful than the gospel.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's right.
So I said, honey, you don't need counsel. You don't need any more prayer over this. You don't need any. You've learned to try to draw sympathy from your story. Because it makes you feel important. And the highest grace you receive is that somebody seems to care.
Yeah.
I said, honey, it's time to call that whole thing dead.
Yeah.
You actually don't need another moment of counseling.
Right, right.
See, because if a counselor's not sharp, they keep feeding it.
Yes,
yeah.
While they say they're trying to help, but they keep the identity intact.
Right.
And I've learned the more counseling people go through on the psychological realm, the more counseling they have, the more sealed they are in why they went to counseling in the first place.
Amen.
I'm talking almost across the board I've run into that.
Right.
So I'm not against counseling, I'm just against keeping that thing alive.
Right. Yes.
The whole purpose is to kill that thing.
Right.
And get them free.
Yes.
Some people don't need as much counsel as you think. Some people don't even need as much prayer as you think. We're making truth issues prayer issues.
Wow.
So we're praying, waiting for a magical change without strong application of truth that makes men free. You see in the truth. I'm not putting down prayer. There's a powerful place for prayer. Prayer is important. It has its place. It's all through the Bible. All prayer, all supplication. Pray for all men. I get it. But a lot of things we pray about, if we're not careful, we become very ministry-driven and ministry-crazed, and we all think we need prayer for things.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need stronger truth.
Yes.
Sometimes we're just getting prayer for how we feel. Pray for me, it just feels like it's going to be one of those days. I woke up and felt like this a couple weeks ago. It was hell. I barely made it through. I don't even know if I want to go to work. Please pray for me. It's just, I feel it's going to be one of those things just on me. That's not a prayer issue.
That's
a truth issue. That's when you press through that thing and lift your hands to heaven right in the bathroom and close the door and get alone so nobody thinks you're bonkers. And go ahead and be with them. Slip out your little drawer keyboard in there. Right, Glenn? Just... Come on, man. You got it right in the sink. You just pull it out. Like Clay, it's good. He's following Jesus. But that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about developing a relationship and wrapping faith around things so feelings don't drive us all the time. Do you know that I've observed and realized that, oh Lord, are you serious? I feel like I gotta say this. A high 90% of our counsel is because of feelings. We're ministering to feelings. Trying to get feelings to change instead of people who live by faith and truth.
Amen. That's good.
My goal isn't for you to feel better. My goal is for you to believe better.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, but I just feel, I understand what you're saying. But have you communed with the Lord? Have you? Well, it's just hard when I feel that way. What about just sitting in your car and it doesn't even feel like you can start the car and drive and you just say stuff like this? Father, I don't care what's going on right now in my mind, my soul, but I know you love me. Because if you didn't love me, you'd have never put your son on that cross. Jesus, you wouldn't have took them spikes into your hand if you didn't think I was precious to you.
Yes.
Do you know how many people haven't ever believed that, and they're Christians and they're sincere about their faith? But they've been alone, and the Lord showed me a long time ago that a whole large percentage of people have never been all alone and just initiated that conversation. Father, thank you for valuing me. Thanks for loving me. Thank you, Lord, for redeeming my life and making me righteous in your sight. Thank you that when you look at me, you look at a son.
Yes.
See what's wrong with me? Come on, don't be afraid you'll get like me. Just start believing this stuff. It'll change things. Well, let me throw you. You say, well, brother, that settles it. I ain't doing that if I'm going to get like you. Sure beats being bummed out. Sure beats believing lies. Sure beats striving and hurts. Sure beats religion.
Amen.
Just simple communion with God, being His. Just waking up and being His. Just put little notes around your house, man. Put them on the mirror. It's one of the first places you end up anyway. You ladies, I know it. You be there. Instead of going, ugh, or oh no, or I should have got up earlier. Just put a little note there. I'm yours.
Yes.
You value me. As soon as you read it. Don't just read it and get familiar with it. Respond from your heart. Let it trigger you. Get your past feelings. Get you past all the stuff on your plate. Got a full plate today. I'm just a little pressed, honey. I'm sorry I shared with you. I just got a lot on my plate. See, that could all die. Yeah. Honey, you okay? I'm okay. Why do you quit asking? Why do you keep asking that? Just quit. Be more secure. Well, you just seem short, and I just want to make sure because I care about you, honey. And your spouse could actually really be sincere, but because you're already thinking ahead and today has enough of its own, but you're already out here at 12 o'clock.
Yeah.
And now you're interpreting genuine care as irritation. Because it's messing up your balance. Stay with your dad. You ever hear people talk like that? Did you ever talk like that? You just all of a sudden you got yourself a mess just because you're thinking ahead. And now you can't even give your heart to the person in front of you because you're out here.
Right.
And then you expect them to understand that delusion.
Mm.
And be sensitive to that deception. Are we okay? Are you glad you're here? Are you like, dear Jesus? Oh my goodness. See, it's just selfless. The answer is selfless. Waking up every day. Every day. I preach this everywhere I go. Everywhere I go. I've been over at World Changers, right? That's the way. That's the name. World Outreach. World Outreach. World Changers is another place. World Outreach. I was there twice with you guys, right, Miss Stone? And I probably said this there. It's not new, but it'll transform you if you'll get it. If you just get one thing out of this whole night and get this, if this is the one thing you get out of this night, it'll transform you. You let the gospel teach you that every morning you wake up, no one owes you a thing. Because you're complete in Him and you woke up for one reason, to shine.
Amen. Yes, amen.
Are you with me?
Yes. Yes.
You didn't wake up for things to go the way you prefer. You didn't wake up for your spouse to treat you right and do little surprises and drop a note. See, because when you don't wake up for that and that stuff happens, it's so sweet. But when you expect it, then maybe they just whoo, because they better. Well, they've been trouble. Wonder if you sincerely wake up in the morning and nobody owes you a thing. Because you're complete in Christ and you understand the whole reason mercy woke you up is to give you another day to be more like Him.
Yes.
So all of a sudden, it's irrelevant who's doing what, saying what, or being what, because you already have a purpose. How powerful is that, man? This is what's wrong with me. Like, every time you see me, I'm going to be this way or worse. Who's ever not seen me this way? Was I this way when I was with you guys? Yeah? I remember the first time I came, don't get embarrassed, she was like... She said, wait, we need to talk. She had a lot of questions for me. They were good, healthy questions. Why? Because she saw it was coming out of me. It was nonstop. It was consistent. But I was this way then, wasn't I? Now, do you think everything has gone so squeaky smooth since then that it's allowed me to stay this way? Or do you think I faced a lot of the same challenges you faced? Yes. Do you think life has come and gone just like it's come and gone to you?
Right.
You think people have probably made some mistakes in front of me like they've made mistakes in front of him? Do you think everything has been going great and everybody's been totally nice? If that's what you think Christianity is, you heard some different gospel. I mean, Jesus talks about stuff like 5 and a half, 3 against 2. I came to bring a sword. I mean, so why do you let what people don't see decide what you do see if he's the light of the world? I'm just done with it. I'll never live that way again. I see this thing now.
Amen.
We're 20-some years in, so that's not eternity, but that's long enough for me to have a revelation. So you don't live with me. I live with me. So my conscience is on this thing. I'm like, yep. I mean, you just see me maybe for a weekend and assess me or get out of the car. What did you think of that guy? But I'm going to leave here and be with me. Tomorrow when I wake up, it's going to be me. Like, I'm stuck with me. I know me. I'm with me forever. But I like it. I used to not like me. I used to need you to like me to feel likable. There was a time I'd be up front here, and if you guys were laughing, I would be like, ooh, I got the crowd. Now I don't even try to be funny, and people are laughing like crazy, and I'm not even sure I'm funny. If I try, people say, you're hilarious. I say, if I tried to be hilarious, it would be a dry bone. I don't even know what you're talking about. You say, I don't know, just your antics, just your expressions, just your... I'm like... That's just grace and gifting and God taking a sharp message and it's anesthesia to laugh us through surgery. It has nothing to do with speaking strategy. Holding your attention. I don't even, this guy travels and speaks. He does seminars and stuff. He comes up to me and he says, he got close to me and hung around me for a season. He said, you probably don't even know that there's courses out there for public speaking and there's priority points to do to keep a crowd. And you probably have no idea that even exists on the planet. I said, I never ever thought about that. He said, well, I've been through those schools because of what I do. Because my business wants me well trained so I can present clearly and hold attention and keep people humored and not be boring and keep their attention and nail the point home. And there's strategies to speaking. He said, here's what I've noticed about you. Everything I've ever learned in those courses, you do to an absolute T. And you don't even know those courses exist. That tells me it's grace and it's God and all wisdom comes from the Lord. He said, you could instruct one of those schools and be a absolute perfect teacher of those schools if you had a clue what you were doing. Now, isn't that intriguing? Because that's the Lord. And I was like, whoa! But see, in those former years when I had insecurity, when I didn't like who I was, when I had secrets in my life, when I had sin in my life. Yeah? It would have been unhealthy for me to be up here. And isn't it funny, God's put me up here and I never asked to be up here. Never asked a pastor. I said no 3 times when I was asked. I swore in my heart I would never travel because I didn't have a good impression of traveling ministry. That's why you saw my heart the other day at the kitchen. Because I used to think people traveled for money. Because I pastored full time and everybody was always about honorarium and special requests and contracts. And I was like, well, I don't even understand this. We don't even need to bring a speaker in if it's about all this. Right?
Right.
It's about the kingdom. It's just about Jesus. Why do you need a couple thousand bucks up front? That sounds like a business deal, not a family. So in my heart, being a young pastor, kind of intervowing, I'll never itinerate. I don't even understand it. I think that's not even evil. Isn't it comical? It's all I do. Never knocked on the door. I didn't write up a bio. I don't send out a newsletter. I don't even have a web page that I'm in contact with. Some people put a website up for me years ago. It's so antiquated. I think it's just so outdated. People send me stuff and say, we have skills and giftings. We'll do everything for free. But dude, you need a website that's updated and modern. And I'm like, I don't think I need one. I just need to keep living my life in Jesus. I'm not trying to sell anything. I'm not trying to promote anything. So here I am getting 600 plus invites a year, and I don't even ask to travel. I got people that, from their heart, send me finances, and I honestly didn't come here and told him. He didn't even tell it the way I told him, and which I was glad he didn't, because he didn't need to go to that. But I said, listen, I'm not taking any offering this weekend. I'm not here for that. I'm not taking anything. We're not going to do any honorarium or offering. He said, well, brother, that's really going to be in our hearts to do. We're a giving church, and I said, well, I get that, but I don't want to. And then he's so awesome. Like, how do you argue with Travis? He's like, well, we just really, God just. So sincere. You don't turn in reimbursements. You don't hand in expenses. It's the kingdom. I told Travis, I said, you know how many people have taken offerings? You know how many pastors? You guys are pastors, right? So did you ever hear a pastor say this? Did you ever say this? It's not wrong. It's our hearts. We'll say, no, listen, brother so-and-so came here and somebody empowered him to get here and it took finances to get here. And we all understand that. We're not naive. We can talk about this stuff. It's not dirty. So that's be a blessing and empower him to keep going.
Yeah, right.
Did you ever hear that phrase?
Mm-hmm.
So watch this. So if I was just at your house and you guys took an offering and pastor stood up, what's your name again?
David.
Pastor David Stubbs said, guys, did you get some? I'm like, yeah. Were you blessed by that? Yeah. Listen, let's empower this man to keep doing this, to get to another house, and cheer another house on, another house. Let's get behind him. Let's empower this. Somebody help getting here, let's help getting somewhere else, right?
Yeah.
Did you ever hear that?
Yeah.
It makes sense?
Yeah.
Then why do itinerant ministers go to the next church and the next church covers all their expenses when that church empowered me to get there? Why am I turning in all my expenses and they're paying my way when this church just empowered me to get there? That's why they gave to me to get me there. Why are they reimbursing me for everything? So it's personal income? Is this stuff I wonder? Nobody's ever answered the question. But we keep saying it and turning in our expenses. I don't think Jesus would have ministered that way. Listen, it is a long time walking down that road through Samaria and all the pain and suffering going through the nation of Samaria. I need some reimbursement, guys, and I could use some new sandals. Somebody could give me one of them foot treatments because I got some calluses and this and that. Dusty road. I'll come to your church if you're going to give me some new shoes. Did you picture Jesus doing that? And we'll preach good. If I preach good, you're going to give me good. If I preach better, you're going to give me better. Some pastors, they mean well, but they'll say, we're going to take an offering before he preaches. I hope we don't short him, but maybe we should wait till after he preaches. Like, I deserve a better offering because I preach better.
Yeah.
That's never in your mind if you're not coming for an offering.
Come on.
And I just honestly, you can hear this any way you want. I always feel like I'm going to preach good. This one pastor said, I hope you don't get freaked out, but we have a tradition in our church when a pastor drops a nugget and it's one of those Ramos or Selah things, we have a box up front. It's going to be sitting right in front of the podium. And And somebody will soak into that revelation saying, wow, I just got that. I'm going to sit on that, man. Like, so if you drop nuggets, they'll probably start coming up putting dollars and stuff in that thing. And I thought, people tell me that I dropped 5 nuggets in 2 sentences and they're thinking about the first one and 4 more just dropped. And I'm thinking, this is going to be a parade. I know, I was nervous. And it was ugly. It was ugly. It was a parade. I was trying to preach and I had people going, ho, ho. And they were running up the nonstop. This red lady went back, sat down, ho, back up, ho. I'm like, what? I said, Pastor, I don't know if we can keep doing this. I'll admit the weakness of my life, I know it's a weakness of my life, is receiving. Not from the Lord, I do great at that. It's receiving from people, finances, when the last thing on my mind is money.
Yeah.
I've struggled with it. I shouldn't. The Lord's telling me to knock it off. He really is. He's like, can't you just bless people, say thank you, look them in the eyes and say, well, thank you for your heart. And said, oh man, no, you ain't got to. People do the Pentecostal handshake thing. It freaks me out every time. And I'm like, no, man, come on, listen. And the Lord's like, can you just receive and say thank you? And I'm like, no. No, I can't. No! I can't, Lord. For some reason, it's a weakness in my life. And it's not wrong to receive. It's not wrong to give. But I don't think it's healthy if that's your motivation behind the scenes.
That's right.
It's just not good. So I'm learning to be a better receiver. I'm a great giver. I love to give. My treasurer, me and him have so much fun. People sow into me, and we decide what we're doing with the gospel finances. Oh, it's so fun. We just have a blast. It makes me cry. I can tell you stories that make you cry. But when you're not expecting anything, then sometimes it is hard to receive. So that's a weakness in my life. So I'm just admitting that because maybe by admitting it, I can get a little better in it. But I promise you, as long as I'm alive on this earth, I will never go to a church for an unearned. And I tell pastors, I probably had that conversation with you before we even came. Probably told you, listen, if you never hand me an envelope, I'm not even going to blink because it's not why I'm coming. You don't need to take it off. Let me just come, man. Jesus will get me there. He'll get me to my next place. Yeah, my next place. How you doing back there, buddy?
Good to see you, man. Everybody might as well look and see who it is. Family reunion. Amen.
Are we okay? Are we doing good? I don't even know what we're doing. Listen, let me summarize this thing. Let's just pray for some folks. This morning I got real strong too, didn't I? Right out of the gate. I talk about things we haven't seen when we prayed for each other. Man, there's people in this room, we've lost loved ones. Some of the most precious relationships and people in our lives. I just met Pastor and his mama a couple years ago. In the back read his wife. There's this stuff, man, we believe for and we haven't seen and we pray. But what I said this morning is we can't afford to let our belief system be decided through our experience and what we haven't seen. We have to let our belief system come through the Word and through Jesus' life. But Jesus' life is what's to decide what we believe. Because we're all growing up into Him. I'm not being rude. I'm not talking to you personally. I'll look up. Some of us have a hard time just keeping a healthy attitude. And then we're supposed to move mountains. And because we quoted a scripture, something's supposed to bow. This isn't a book of principles that you apply to get a rabbit to pop out of a hat. It's an introduction into a covenant where all that is yours is His and all that is yours and you become one with Him.
Yes.
It's not just study out and find the promises that relate to your crisis and start quoting it over the crisis. It's become, and I know we teach that, but I don't teach that. I teach become something in communion with Him. So that when you look at that thing, you're not so moved by it that you lose authority. Because anything you fear, you have no authority.
That's right.
So if you're fearing for your own life, how do you have power over death? If you're fearing for the life of another, how do you have power over death? But if you understand that we're not living for the moment, we're living for that day, that perspective right there can get us through the moment. Are you with me?
Yes.
Am I making sense?
Yes.
Man, I've felt in my life, whoever felt in your life like you took a stand and you lost?
Yeah.
And me, for sure. My own mother. See, you can't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about. You can't say back off and be more sensitive. We all have our stories, guys.
Right.
We've all suffered some things, man. So to compare our losses does no good. To say, well, you've been through some hell, but not as much hell as me. That does no good to magnify the hell we've been through. So we go around the room to see who's had the worst story and go through. Then what? And then turn and sing It's All About Heaven. And be found religious. Come on! But I hear it a lot as a pastor. Well, you don't know what I've been through. Well, you need to be more sensitive. Well, yeah, you need to hear my story, brother. And I'm thinking, no, that's probably the problem. Oh, I shouldn't even say this. I mean, do you know how many people now are writing books about their story in the church, calling them Christian? If we're not careful, some of these books aren't inspired. It's people holding their troubled souls together, making analogies. It's the only way they're finding a sense of peace. So then they believe what they're writing, and it's making them okay, but it's not increasing the revelation of the kingdom or release of power. So people that embrace that information, that are in that same crisis situation book, if they embrace that same mentality, then they get the same. The bottom line is, faith says to the mountain, move, and the mountain moves. So if I spoke to mountains and they haven't moved, I can't change what the truth says, and I can't let faith be dictated by the mountain that didn't move.
Right.
I still got to go back to Matthew 17 and say, that's still there.
Right.
And I'm going after it. And this mountain might not have moved, but man, we're going after the next one in front of us.
Yeah. Yes.
I might have lost my mama, but I'll stand for yours. Are you with me? Nothing to change without belief. You might have lost a spouse, but you can stand for somebody else's. I think there's integrity in that. And honor in that. My mother died of a certain disease. It was four or five so months later after she passed. I did her funeral and graveside and everything. It was amazing. It was an honor to do mama's. And a lady was in a service with the same exact disease, and I was telling the story about my mom, and everybody was kind of, because I come across. And then I was talking about my mama passing, and people, you know, quick, their minds, analytical, just kicks in. It's not a gift, by the way. I'm the wrong person. Well, brother, I'm just a very analytical person. I would try to cut that thing out of you. Analytical is not a gift. It came through Adam. It came when Eve listened to another voice and reasoned against what she already knew. Analytical makes simple things complicated.
Right.
God did not make anyone analytical. That means he gave you the gift to talk yourself out of him.
Right.
I'm going to talk about IQ. Analytical.
Right.
Overthinking.
Yep.
Running it through 10 times to where now you're confused. Now you got more questions than you ever have answers. And then you talk to people, they weigh out, but you don't understand, but I'm just a very analytical person. Well, then call that thing dead and get out of that. That's not something to boast in. Seminaries are on thin ice. A lot of them teach to not let anybody infringe on your God-given right to reason and rationalize. But you got to understand that what you grew up with in reason and rationalization is perversion. It's through the fall. It's not through redemption. It's through Adam. So I don't want to reserve the right to do that if it's not producing life and it's calling truth lies or lies truth and talking myself out of him.
Right.
I want to be able to sit long enough to decide why he might not love me.
Come on.
To sit long enough and think why I might not be saved.
Wow.
Does that sound like a gift?
No.
It's from hell.
Yeah.
Did God really say? The day you eat the trees, the day you... Yes, he said it. Get out of my face. Put your tongue back in your mouth. Stop.
Yeah?
But she didn't do that. said, oh, yes, God. We said, oh, God didn't. Look, what God just knows. Here's what God knows. Now he applies to know God. She, wow, this guy knows. She already had lust, says the Lord. She already had it point blank. Don't eat the tree. The day you eat the tree is the day you surely die. Period. That's not complicated. But watch this. Oh, God just knows. The day you eat the tree, you'll be enlightened. Yeah, you'll be just like him. Oh, really? She was already like him. So now he's got two things going. He's getting her to override what he said through what he said, and he's getting her to do something to be something.
It's good.
He just knows if you eat that, you'll be like him. She don't have to eat it to be like him. She was already made in his likeness. But guess what she does? And she wasn't being willful. She wasn't. She was deceived. Adam followed her instead of God. And everything changed. We were born into that. And you must be born again. And then we turn that into a prayer that puts me in heaven instead of transforms my life and gets me out of all this mess.
Amen.
We just make it all about a prayer that goes to heaven instead of heaven coming back into me.
Boy. Yeah, boy.
Right. Now it's just something that serves me instead of something that changes me from the inside. Wouldn't that have been amazing when she said, he comes,
did God
really say? Yeah, God said it. Wouldn't that have been awesome? That's where you and I need to stand, right? Because through Christ, guess where we're at? We're still in the garden of God's delight in paradise. But watch this. We're before sin. We're standing as if we never ate the tree. Do you understand the gospel teaches that? That you're seen as righteous. You're acquitted. You're justified just as if you never sinned. You're not guilty. But the tree's still there of the knowledge of good and evil, and the voice still whispers. So what do you have? The instruction to follow him. See where the blood put you? Brought you out of Adam into Christ, same arena, new identity. Follow him.
Amen.
I'd be like devil walking out.
Amen.
Has God really said he loved you? Well, yeah, I mean, yeah, he said he loved me through his word, through his son. Yeah, but if God really loved you, then why? And then how come? And when you were six, and how come even last week at your work, how come you?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, all these cases against God loving you, and all of a sudden, God's love is on trial based on the circumstances of your life instead of love already settled through the cross. That's how analytical works. Okay. It's not a gift. It's a bummer. See, I don't know why that was fun. That must be a gift. Man, if I could just say that and everybody just starts rolling, I don't even know what's going on. Right. But it is a bummer. Let me nutshell this thing. I was trying to do that 15 minutes ago. Jesus died on the cross for us to become something. Not just receive blessing.
Right.
Amen. Yes, God's a blesser. Yes, it's not wrong to pray for a new job or believe God for a promotion, but don't let whether that promotion comes or not decide your disposition.
Right.
That's when we miss it.
Right.
Yes, it's great to pray for your kids, but if your kids are making mistakes, don't you become a product of their mistakes and they'll be a worrying, failed, or condemned parent, because
that's
if you
right.
did better, they'd be doing better. Stop that. Sometimes you're kids just make choices.
Right.
Sometimes they absolutely know better and do it anyway, and it's no reflection on your parent.
Right.
So let's stop letting our kids decide who we are.
Amen.
I told my children a long time ago, if you want to see me, look to me. If you want to see you, look to you. You get a look at who I am through your life if you're living everything I'm living for. But just looking at your life doesn't mean it's who I am. Your life reveals your life. My life reveals mine. You could reflect your daddy. But I am way more secure than that. That's what I told my kids a long time ago. So when my kids made some bad choices, I didn't fall apart. Boy, I should have parented better. If I was a better dad, they probably wouldn't. If I'd have loved them a little more, maybe they wouldn't. I wonder if I did wrong. No, Father, thank you for the investment in them, and I thank you there's more in their life than what they're performing, producing right now, and I thank you, God. Their lives are about to change in you.
Yes,
God, I thank you. Their hand is reaching strong after them. I'm not afraid for their destruction. I thank you. You're going to restore them. God, thank you for loving my children.
Yes.
And then you go on and you walk in the light as he's in the light. You don't cry every day and you don't have to pray every day, because when you pray every single day about the same thing, you probably need to get a grip on where you're coming from, because you might be in fear and that thing might be ruling your life.
That's right.
Yeah. See, when you're only okay, when that thing changes, that thing's an idolatry. It's mattering more than what matters most. That's the definition of idolatry, letting something matter more than what matters most. And then you hide behind the mask of love.
Well, I just love them so much.
No, you're insecure, you're drawing your identity from them, and you're not okay till they're okay, and you're calling it love. When it costs you your productivity, not cool. Are you with me?
Yeah.
I'm telling you, there's way more authority in prayer coming from this place I'm talking about. Because you speak it and you see it. You're not shook and you're not afraid and you're not insecure and you're not taking it personal. You love them and you know they're more than the mistakes they're making, and you call them out of it in prayer, and you speak over their life and prophesy in that bedroom with the door closed.
Yes.
And when you walk out, you're like, yeah.
Yeah.
And you know that thing is there's just swimming in the bowls of incense, making its way to the top. And God's about to hear what you spoke. So you just go to work and shine, and nobody can even tell what's going on. Down the road, people find out what you walk through, and it hits them because they realize they had no clue and they weren't trying to stop you. And you smile and you say, well, where did you ever think that Christianity is decided by those things instead of who he is in?
That's right.
And all of a sudden, they're convicted. And now they ain't just going to church. They're becoming more like him. You know, Christianity is not church attendance, right? It's Christ-likeness.
Right.
And the reason we gather is to become more like him.
Yeah. Yeah.
If we miss that, we've missed it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
I say it all the time, man. If we miss becoming love, we miss the whole point of the cross. The point of the cross is not getting you to heaven. It's getting you transformed back to the beginning and getting everything that was lost through Adam's sin restored through his righteousness.
Amen. You're right.
So when your nature gets restored back to love, that's the fulfillment of the cross, not when you pray a prayer to go to heaven.
Come on.
Amen.
What do we accomplish? We all pray a prayer to go to heaven. We all say our names are in the book of life. We still have animosity, hurt, offense, unresolved conflicts. We still can't get along at home. We sing hallelujah to the Lord, and we fight over where we're eating and all that crazy stuff. We call it normal. And the world could care less if we're Christians.
That's right.
That's right.
And we've missed the whole point.
That's right.
And all of a sudden, we've learned how to do church and go to church and failed to become her. That's a problem. So I'm calling you to this tonight because the blood paid for it.
Amen.
And I'm a friend.
Amen.
I'm just telling you. It's what we're called to, it's what we're created for, it's what we paid for. So what do you say? Are you in?
Amen.
Here's the cool thing. There's not one thing I shared about this thing tonight that you can't live when you wrap faith around it apart from any person or situation in your life. Every individual in this room can rise up in faith and walk out what I'm preaching. No matter what you're in the middle of, faith says yes.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Right.
You say, well, you don't know that man I'm living with. You don't know that woman I got to know with. No, no, no. You haven't even heard a word I said.
you're still hiding behind that. You're allowing it to justify your life, and tomorrow will be the same.
Right.
You'll make them your excuse. You think you're going to stand before God and look at him and say, well, if you'd have changed my spouse, I'd have believed you more. You won't even be able to think that.
Right.
You'll just look in his eyes and go, oops.
Yeah.
So if it ain't going to work then, why would you let it work now?
Yeah.
Why would you buy time that you don't have? Why would you sell cheap when you're not for sale? Yeah?
Yeah.
So what do we do, Clay? You're a spiritual man. Where do we go from here?
He looks like a big brother. He looks like a big brother. Save me. No, I'm talking to you, Clay.
Come on, I'll play something sweet, man. I just get you involved. I love you, right? How can you think I love this guy?
Yeah.
Who loves this guy? He's so humble. I said, so where do we go from here, Clay? You're a spiritual hero.
No, no.
He looks right back at Big Brother. Brother! Listen, while he's playing real sweet and soft, come on up here and play your thing, man. Please? Would you do that even just for me? Even if you just do it for me, I'm letting go be spiritual. You don't even have to do it for the Lord. He don't mind. I know your heart. I met you long enough to know your heart. You'll do it for the Lord. Just love on him with your strings and flow with him. Would you do that? Would you enjoy that?
Yeah.
You guys together would like that, won't you?
Awesome.
Oh, this is fun. Oh, he's going to play that thing in heaven. He's going to come, man.
Yeah.
Woo! I usually don't get anybody to play nothing. Anybody that knows me, I don't play nothing at the end. I just love when I usually do something, pray for the sick and stuff. But here's what I want you to do, either just flow and play. Before you leave tonight, I want you to make contact with God from your own heart. And don't pray for your spouse. Don't pray for your children. Don't pray for your work. Don't think it's selfish. Listen, when I first got saved, I said, Lord, if I don't first become everything you paid for and intended, then I'll never be productive in what I'm here for.
That's right.
So I need to know you first. Before I pray for anybody, put your love in me. Make me more like you. Do a work in me. So for about 5 weeks, I sought the Lord and closed my bedroom door. Pastor David, I put my clocks to the wall because I was in a position in my family and life where I had the liberty to do that. I worked second shift. I'd wake up early, turn my clocks to the wall, and I'd just close the door and I'd be in the room with Jesus. For 5 weeks, nonstop, every day, hours and hours, I just read and play Jesus, friend forever, and just seek his heart to overtake me that I would become like his love. Oh, it was the most powerful 5 weeks. And I didn't know I was changing, but everybody around me knew. People were like, what happened to you? What? I was 4 weeks saved, dude. 4 weeks. Did I call you dude? That's Tom White. Tom White imparted that into me. What's your name, man?
Chuck.
Huh?
Chuck.
Chuck. Chuck. I was 4 weeks saved. 4 weeks. That's like... Red powder, rock me, 4 weeks. I would go to the pool with my children, 4 weeks old, my Lord. Everybody look at me and go, that ain't the same dude you came in the last 2 years with his kids. They see me playing with the kids and interacting, not staring at everybody else's life. Well, I'm just being real. Because I didn't know Jesus. I was in tune with my flesh until I knew Jesus. But I died that night, man. I'm 4 weeks saved. I'm 5 weeks in my bedroom, so I'm 4 weeks into this communion thing. And then on my days off, I would take the kids to the pool. And I would go in the pool. I'm 4 weeks saved. People were coming up to my blanket. What happened to you? What's going on with you? You seem so different. Why are you so full of joy? And like a river, 4 weeks saved, it would just pour out of me. Why? As if I was a preacher. As if I've been to school or something. No, 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 I've been with him, and I'm believing it, and it's in me. And what I see, I can communicate, and it's coming out, not because I've been trained, because it's alive, and it's real.
Yes.
That's what was happening at the pool. Travis, it was amazing. 4 weeks saved. I would go to the pool, and my whole blanket We get surrounded with blankets. Parents would come over. Do you mind if we sit down? Do you mind if we talk? Do you mind if we ask you questions? We're so intrigued by your life. What's in you is so real. I had as many as 30 people around me at a time sitting around 4 weeks saved. And I would just pour out my heart to them and they'd say, could you pray for me? I'm so convicted when you speak. I just want to know God like I see know him. You're a different man than before. See, your confession. I go to church now. I don't even, they got to see. They see you're different. They see him in you. They don't know it's him, but man, they know it's different. And they see it.
Yes.
And they want it. If they can't see him in you, why do they want what you say you have?
Come on.
You go to church, you serve the ministry, you pass the baskets, you help with the children, but you can't make peace with your wife and speak to her in a calm way. You're at the pool, you ain't even communicating, but you go to church. Ah! Look, I'm not being mean. That's when you don't keep one another changed, you get over you. Forget about them long enough and what you don't agree with and how they... Forget about them long enough to get over you.
Yes.
So you can finally see them through him. Because I promise you, he ain't frustrated with them. While they were yet sinners, he was hanging on a tree.
Oh, yes.
You got to decide tonight. You got to say, man, I want to become this thing.
Amen.
I don't want to just preach it. I don't just want to listen to it. I don't even want to just amen it, even though that's good. Oh,
amen.
No, that's good. Your heart's amazing. I can get you to just move my hands and we do good. You know, I can tell. I know when I see Jesus. We're very close. It's like, how'd you get in here? How'd you get in here, Lord? I thought you were in me. How'd you get in here? Cut a check and make sure he didn't just switch, you know. They're playing sweet. You just have a little time with God. You, if you're serious right now, you just ask the Lord to form this message in you and to keep it in front of you. You would ask Holy Spirit to just keep you provoked. That you wouldn't let old things that want to produce a life ever creep back in. And tonight will be a marker night. Man, I remember the last time I did a little thing like this, the whole thing after the play. This is awesome. Yeah, this is kind of new turf for me. Because I just trust the word, I just preach, I trust the word, the truth. There's some of our responding tonight. And let this be a marker night where you're like, you know what, God, I say yes to this message. And I don't want anything to ever matter more than what matters most. No matter what that is, I don't ever again want it to dominate my view. I want you to move into me. I want to become more like you. I want to become your love. I want to be your response in every situation. I want men to see me and get a good look at who you are. Because you're in me. Can you start talking to him like that? Can you ask him that right now? Can you release people and forgive people and stop making it about other people? It's going to be you that stands before the Lord.
That's
right. It's going to be you. It's just you. You're going to stand before the Lord. And it's not going to be about anybody else right there. So don't let it be about anybody else right now. I realize some of us have been through some tough breaks, hard challenges, unexpected traumas. I get that. But that's where the gospel is so powerful. Because we've already died to ourselves, so we can live for him. So response is in you. I have a precious friend in South Carolina, a pastor. I was going down to spend some time with him, preach at their church, and we were going to hunt turkeys for like 2 days. And right before I headed down, his little girl, who drove like for the second time by herself without her parents, she was 15, almost 16, they let her drive that young some places. She lost control on a wet road, and an F-350 came up over her car, and her train landed. Completely crushed her skull. The doctor saw her in emergency and said, wow, we lost another little teenager in our community. Is there anything I'm going to do for this girl? There was a shard of bone down in her brain. They had to pull it out. Her head swelled twice the size of the human in here, you couldn't even really tell the truth. I get there, I go in ICU, she's a coma. I meet my buddy, because he lives this message, he preaches this message. I walk in the room, I look at my buddy, and he's the same man. That's his little girl. He loves her so much, she's a 15 little sweetheart. But he's the same man. He's sitting with parents, encouraging them, praying. He's going back the hallway into a room praying for a boy. He's so full of peace and so calm. You tell me it ain't possible. I watched it. He was the same man. He sat by her bed for 52 days. So they released her from the hospital. I was there for 4 or 5. When I left, she was sitting up, eating off a spoon and drinking out of a straw. And everybody was hurting. It wasn't because I was there, it wasn't because of me, but it was just
the long way around.
And their whole church sinned. Their whole church sinned. This man and woman lived what they preach and see before our eyes. They are a living example of all of us. Isn't that Christ Jesus, the glory? I'm not preaching perfection. I'm not saying you fail if you cry. I'm just telling you this grace is possible if you go for it. Where he is the Lord. She's back in school. She just won junior homecoming queen. And it's amazing because she shouldn't even be able to function. Her skull was crushed. When I was there, they had a piece of it in the freezer waiting for her head to go down to put it back in. But he was the same man as her. He texted me several times since then and said, I love you so much. I just want to thank you for the gospel you're preaching. What's real makes the difference. I tell you, you don't always get the answer. Sometimes we just take that and think we're in it. Do you ever feel like you're trying to build a house in a storm? Probably the easiest thing to do. But it's not letting that thing that didn't happen when you believe change who you are and that shows you really proud. You don't lose heart, you don't lose hope. People talk to you 2-3 years later and you're in love with Jesus and they can see it, and then they find out what you've been through and it really freaks them out because they're expecting you to be different. Only grace and only truth and only faith can make that change. It's not because you're a super Christian, it's because you're a believer.
Right.
It's
right.
Just grace. It's what you see, it's what you believe. Take a minute, just start believing God for your life to keep being formed that way. You just make a commitment if you're married, and in your marriage, you're taking this stand tonight. I got one response in my marriage, to be more like you, Jesus. No matter what's going on, no matter what it's been like, I'm going to wake up every day and know what I'm going to do. Be bold. Would you tell God that? You want to step out in that? Lies, don't believe the devil, because I'm stepping out of that thing already. Go on, you're dead to you already. Stop that. Deny yourself. Give up your cross. Let's follow Jesus tonight. I'm going to pray for grace in this room. Come on, make this a marker night where you be here and you say, you know what? I heard that message. I gave my life to Jesus more in this way, and my life has been changed since that night. I want it to be a year from now. You say, man, that was a turning point in my soul, in my emotions, in my productivity. That night shifted. That's what I'm feeling. I'm feeling there's a grace right now that a year from now you can say, that was the night that shifted. Not because I preached great, I'm always going to preach good. But because that night I gave myself to truth. And I wasn't going to let nothing matter more than what matters most. Come on, will you talk to him like that? Would you forgive your parents? Forgive your children? Forgive your spouse? Would you forgive the one you call a friend? Would you just call it all dead right now so you can obtain him and grow in him? Come on. Release God. Release God from responsibilities and things that hurt your heart. Release him. Don't blame him. Release him. Believe the best in him. Love him like he loves you. Come on. He doesn't have issues with you. Don't have issues with him. He didn't send his son so he can pray charades with you down the road. Don't blame him. Embrace him. Embrace him. Please release him. I'm talking to a couple people. Please release God and forgive God and release him. And embrace him. Father, I pray for great grace and strength. I pray that you would learn something very special. Points of no return, no looking back. Not Lot's wife, your bride. We're not looking back. We will not be stuck between where we came from and where we're heading. We will reach the finish line. I declare it. We will reach the finish line in our life. Come what you want. Listen, I'm going to do this a little different than I usually do. That's all right. Just sit right down there. Just sit right down there. Right in front. Right there. Just sit right there. Listen, I'm going to pray for everybody. I'm going to do it a little different than I usually do it. Just because of time and children. Don't think it's just because I'm kind of make it a little quicker in a sense. Don't think it's going to be less effective. This isn't religious, and this isn't here we go again. Serious stuff. You got sickness in your body. You got something that you need to leave your body that it's less than homeless. Please raise your hand right where you sit, please. I'm already coming after you. You don't raise your hand. Raise your hand right where you sit. Look around. Your hands are raised. Look around. If you're sitting near them, get their hand, please. Find somebody that has their hand up. Get their hand. If you're sitting side by side, you both have your hands up. Get each other's hand. But acknowledge each other and say, you know what, I'm standing with you. I'm believing you. Get their hands. Everybody got somebody's hand? We're going to pray right now. What I want you to do, if you're being prayed for, if you raise your hand, here's all I want you to do tonight. I just want you to believe that God loves you and he never sent his son. No matter what you've been going through, no matter why you raise your hand, how long it's been, I'm not trying to minimize it. I'm saying no matter what entails it, just push that aside for a second and settle in your heart. You know what? You love me. You value me. And you never sent your son. What I've been going through is no reflection of a lack of your love. I'm coming after you because faith works through love. I believe in love. See, when love's questioned, faith is a burden. Now you're only ever driven by need. Your heart can't run well that long from that place. Faith works through love. You know he loves you. Wow, you're going to take me free. So right now, if you're being prayed for, you just believe he loves you. If you're waiting for him, all I want you to do is just begin to declare with him, be whole and be healed in Jesus' name. Never again, sickness, no more weakness, in Jesus' name, be whole. Come on, speak that over them right now with a heart of faith. In Jesus' name, be whole. Be whole in Jesus' name. Everybody who is strong now, in Jesus' name, your mercy and goodness of God. Heal them all through this week. Thank you. Say, wow, you're
bless the sleep of every person. We bless the bodies of every person that they won't have to find a comfortable position. They won't be disturbed every other hour or half hour. God, your people will rest tonight in the goodness of God. We declare healing in this morning. In Jesus' name. And you thank him for loving you, please. A lot of you, thanks for letting me come to your town again. I've had Jackson on my heart for a while. That's why I came to your place twice. And then I met Travis and he said, would you come back? I said, I will definitely come back. And here I am. I appreciate your attentiveness, your teachability. There's humility in this room all weekend. I preach straight and strong, and it's like you guys are hanging on every word. That's exciting, you guys. I can feel conviction and challenge, but I don't feel resistance. It's like, yeah, yeah, ooh, yeah. That's going to take us a long way. Grace is coming in a great way. I saw it tonight. Don't back off of this message. Don't back off of him. Amen?
Amen.